Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 38. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers.
Ita niti yadishiteva chasavatarai.
Ita niti yadishiteva chasavatarai.
Lokan vipava yasihangsa jagat pratipan. Yasihangsa jagat pratipan. Mahapurushapasi yuganuritam. Channakala yadabhavasti yugata satvam. Itam nitya rishideva chasavatarai. Lokan vipava yasihangsa jagat pratipa. Dharmam Mahapurusha Basi Yuganu Vittam. Channa Kala Yadabhavasti Yugata Satvam. Ithani Tiya Rishiteva Chasavatarai. Lokan vipava yasiham si jagat pratipan. Taramam mahapurusha basi yugan vrittam. Channakala yadabhavasti yugata satvam.
Itam. In this way. Nuri. Like a human being, such as Lord Krishna and Lord Ramachandra. Tiryak, like animals such as the boar. Rishi, as a great saint Parashuram. Deva, as demigods. Chasa, as an aquatic, such as the fish and tortoise. Avatare, by such different incarnations. Lokan, all the different planetary systems. Vipava yasi, you protect. Hangsi, you sometimes kill. Jagapratipan, persons who have simply created trouble in this world. Dharmam, the principles of religion. Mahapurusha, O great personality. Pasi, you protect. Yuga Anuvrittam, according to the different millenniums. Chana, covered. Kala, in the age of Kali. Yat, sins. Avava, have been and will be in the future. Chiyuga, name Tri Yuga. Ata, therefore. Sa, same personality. Tvam, you. Translation. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise. Thus, maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Triyuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Purport. As the Lord appeared just to maintain Lord Brahma from the attack of Madhu and Kaita, he also appeared to protect the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to protect the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. There are four yugas, or millenniums, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. In all the yugas but Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in various incarnations and asserts himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in Kali Yuga, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never asserted himself as such. On the contrary, whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was addressed as being as good as Krishna, he blocked his ears with his hands, denying his identity with Krishna, because he was playing the part of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya knew that in Kali Yuga there would be many bogus incarnations pretending to be God, and therefore he avoided asserting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, in many Vedic literatures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32, Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishna Sango Pangas Taparsadam Yagya Sankirtana Prayaya Jantihi Sumedasha. In Kali Yuga, intelligent men worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always accompanied by his associates such as Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, and Shivas. The entire Krishna consciousness movement is based on the principles of the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, one who tries to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the Sankirtan movement knows everything perfectly. He is Sumedhas, a person with substantial intelligence. Mukam karati vachalam vangam manga tegrim yakipam tamam vande sigurum tinatavinam. Om agyanati mirandasya gyananjara sharakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Hare Krishna. So this is one of the few verses in Srimad Bhagavatam which mentions Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes people say, where is it mentioned? Well, here's one of the verses. He's a chana. So you cannot say it's Buddha. You cannot say, of course, Buddha also didn't assert himself. Kalki, sometimes people say, why not Kalki? But they're not the Yuga avatars. The purpose of the Yuga avatar is to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Of course, Lord Chaitanya did much more than that. He also gave us a Madhurya Prema, Krishna Prema. So we are indebted to Srila Prabhupada for giving us the association and the service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now I'd like to review a little bit about the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj from the beginning, verse 8. See what has happened up to this point. So the first five verses, 8 through 12, tell reasons why Prahlad is confident that the Lord will accept his prayers. The reasons why he's confident that he can do service even though he's born in a demoniac family. So that will help us feel confident too. Okay, maybe I'm not born in a pure devotee family. I'm not born in a family of devotees. I'm not born in a Brahmin family. But still, I can also worship the Lord. I can also offer prayers to the Lord. And so he said because the Lord is not satisfied material opulence. Even animals could serve the Lord, like Hanuman served Lord Ramchandra. And Gajendra, he offered prayers. He was an elephant. Imagine if you were cursed to be an elephant. All of a sudden, you couldn't even come in the temple. You know, but he was able to offer prayers to the Lord. And one of his verses, he said, somebody who's born as a dog eater is better than a Brahmana who has all the 12 brahminical qualities, but who is not a Vaishnava, who is not a devotee. And Prabhupada comments that the person born in the dog eater family, he can deliver 14 generations, whereas the Brahmana cannot even deliver himself if he is not a devotee of Lord Krishna. And he's also confident because if we simply chant and hear the holy name, then we can become purified and we will be accepted. And that is again the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. I mean, there are so many offenses in chanting Hare Krishna. How can we ever hope to get perfection? But if we chant Panchatattva Mahamantra, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudevi Gaur Bhaktivinoda, no offenses. And it's the same as Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So there's our concession for this age of Kali. We can chant, we can take shelter of Panchatattva. So then, next two verses, 13 and 14, Prahlad Maharaj was trying to pacify the Lord, was very angry. And he said, okay, now you came here, you killed the demon, and now there's only devotees here. You don't need to be angry anymore, so give up your anger. There's no need to be angry. And so, and he said, you know, even the saintly persons are happy when a snake is killed or a scorpion is killed. But then Prahlad said, and I'm not afraid of you, even though you're so angry, I'm not afraid. But there's one thing I am afraid of, and that is materialistic association. Please, when are you going to call me to your lotus feet? That was verse 16. So then he talked about remedies. In this world, there are so many remedies. But often, especially now, we find that the remedies are worse than the disease. You die from the remedies more than you die from the disease. So the only remedy is devotee association, and that's what Prahlad asks for. And he said, even if you have some material remedy without Krishna, this is impermanent. The remedies won't work. If Krishna, Prabhupada says, if Krishna says no, your medicine won't work. And that's why in Ayurvedic medicine, you're supposed to chant the name of Vishnu along with taking the medicine. Then the next few verses from 20 to 26, Prahlad says why we should surrender to Krishna. First of all, everything is Krishna. His energy is everything. Everything belongs to him, so we should offer it to him. And secondly, we'll be entangled. There's so much entanglement in this world. And we're trapped by our mind. Our mind is keeping us here and making us suffer. And then we're being crushed by time. So therefore we have to surrender. And again, everything's temporary. It can be finished in a second. Also, so therefore he concluded, I should become servant of the servant of Krishna. Another reason why to surrender, there's no happiness here. You can't really get happiness. You can try. Try your best. And another, now these are negative reasons why we surrender. There's another positive reason, that if we surrender, we'll get causeless mercy that even Lakshmi didn't get. Lakshmi didn't get the Lord's hand on her head. Brahma didn't get it. Shiva didn't get it. Prahlad got it because he surrendered. And how much mercy will we get according to the level of our surrender? So then, he was giving some reasons why we should be servant of the servant. He said, my Guru Maharaj saved me, Narada Muni saved me. I was falling down in this material world, and he picked me up. And the reason why you should serve the servant is because the Lord will uphold the words of the devotee. Even sometimes he himself breaks his promise, like he did in the battle of Kurukshetra. He said he would not take up weapons. But he broke his promise to keep the promise of Arjuna, where Arjuna said in Bhagavad Gita that my devotee shall never perish. Krishna told Arjuna to say it, to make sure that it will come true. And another promise was Bhishma. He had to keep Bhishma's vow that Krishna must fight or else Arjuna will die. So therefore, we should become servant of the servant. These are the lessons we learn from the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, and this is the most important lesson. And the last few verses, 30 to 36, is all about creation. How the Lord is here before, during, and after. He's cause and he's effect. He sleeps in yoga nidra, and then he creates Brahma, that's Visarga. And Brahma performed tapasya, and then he got darshan of the Lord with thousands of heads. So the last verse yesterday was about Hayagriva, and how he saved Brahma from Madhu and Kaitav. And Narsingadev saved Prahlad. And who is saving us? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is saving us. And Srila Prabhupada, who gave us Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes. Because Lord Chaitanya came, but it was locked. Even though Lord Chaitanya opened the storehouse of love of Godhead, and he ate it and he distributed it, but then it was locked in India, because he didn't go outside India. So therefore, Prabhupada, he took that storehouse, and he distributed it all over the world. And that's why we are here today. So we can say thank you to Srila Prabhupada. So Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they don't see whether we're qualified or not. When Prabhupada was in Hawaii, there was one devotee, his name is Siddha Sarup, and he was kind of going off a little bit and doing his own movement. He was a guru before joining Krishna consciousness. He had many disciples, so when he joined, he brought all his disciples, and they all joined, and he joined. But then after some time, he couldn't get along with his godbrothers, the GBCs, the sannyasis. They were having a hard time. So he came to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was asking him, so you're having a different philosophy than we are? And Prabhupada said, well, I tell the grihasthas they can live outside and be independent. Prabhupada said, well, that's okay. So then Siddha Sarup said, well, sometimes I don't feel qualified. So Prabhupada said, qualified or unqualified, I love you. So that's the mood of Prabhupada, that's the mood of Lord Chaitanya, that's the mood of Nityananda. And we have to also carry that mood when we preach. So Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, when we see them, there's verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Adi Lila. It says, Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahoditao Gaudadai Pushpavattao Chitao Sandatamo Nudao, that Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda have risen on the horizon of Bengal, just like the sun and the moon rising simultaneously, to dissipate the darkness of the inner core of the heart. The sun comes up, and it can show us things of this world, external things. But when Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda come into our heart, then it takes away the darkness of our heart, and we can see Krishna. But how does they do that? As we heard about Srila Prabhupada, that first of all, Gornitai come in our heart, and they help us meet the two kinds of Bhagavatas. There's the book Bhagavat, and there's the devotee Bhagavat. So Gornitai, they come, and they help us meet the two Bhagavatas. And then, with the help of these Bhagavatas, the Lord gives us bhakti. And then, after we get bhakti, we can control Krishna. We can control Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, here he's described as chana, covered. He's not appearing as Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's the most magnanimous. And so why did he come? Prabhupada gives on his lecture on this verse. They said, when Krishna says Sarva Dharma Prityaja in Bhagavad Gita, people say, who is this person ordering me like that to surrender to him? Who is this Krishna? Why should I surrender to Krishna? Especially in India, Prabhupada would say, surrender to Krishna. No, Durga, Shiva, Ganesh. When he came to the West, he told us, surrender to Krishna. We said, yeah, okay, why not Krishna? We were a clean slate. We could accept Krishna easily. So who is this person? Who are you to order me to surrender? So Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Prabhupada said. He has to order. But when he came as Lord Chaitanya, he didn't come as the Supreme Lord. He came as a devotee. And, of course, people say, Krishna said, Sarva Dharma, give up all your dharmas. But we may say, no, I have so many dharma. I have this dharma I have created. Why should I give it up? So that's why he came as Lord Chaitanya. So if you want to approach Krishna, you have to be very, very submissive. But Krishna's not here, so to whom should we submit? We should submit to Srila Prabhupada, to Lord Gornitai, to the Guru, and they will help us. They will teach us how to go to Krishna. And how to do that, Prabhupada explains, Chanadapi Sunichina Tarori Vasihishana. be humbler than the straw on the street, more tolerant than the tree. So Krishna, he taught everything. Whatever you need, you can learn from Bhagavad Gita. But people were so rascal, Prabhupada said, that they would not accept Bhagavad Gita. They made so many interpretations not to surrender to Krishna, escaping. And so Krishna, Lord Chaitanya came and he showed us how to surrender to Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example, just like if you have somebody, Prabhupada one time he was showing somebody how to wash the floor. He got down, he took the cloth in the bucket and he was washing the floor and showing somebody how to do it. Doesn't mean that he's a floor washer. So it doesn't mean Lord Chaitanya was in such a humble position. He's still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's showing us how to do it. Just because he was the chariot driver of Arjuna doesn't mean he was a driver. Drivers were not very high position in those days. But he was just showing how I want to serve my devotee. I want to take care of my devotee. So yesterday, in yesterday's class, if you were here, we heard about all these elaborate Vedic rituals given in the beginning of creation. It was Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chaigunya Vishaya Veda, Nishchaigunya Bhavarjana, that the Vedas deal primarily with the three modes of nature. Be transcendental to this. Rise above this. Rise above these modes. So that's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. We cannot follow the Vedas. In Kali Yuga, no one is qualified to follow the Vedas. In Bhagavatam, in the 6th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 32, there is a verse. It says that because these great sages, Yajnavalkya, Jaimini, they are bewildered by they are compilers of the religious scriptures, but they don't know the secret, confidential religious system of the 12 Mahajans. So that is what Prahlad is giving us. He's giving us the most confidential knowledge, if you study his prayers. The verse says, they cannot understand the transcendental value of performing devotional service and chanting Hare Krishna mantra because their minds are attracted to ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits. They are not attracted to the Sankirtan movement. Instead, they're interested in dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So Prahlad's teachers were trying to train Prahlad in dharma, artha, kama, not moksha, only dharma, artha, and kama, with emphasis on kama. But he couldn't take it because he was a pure devotee. He couldn't take this teaching like this. And that's what the Vedas are basically, 96% teaching, a little bit about moksha, 4%. But mostly it's teaching how to go to the heavenly planets. So Prabhupada said, when we installed the deities in the temple here, then they wanted people wanted to see great ceremonies, great sacrifices, great so many things, great rituals. And Prabhupada said, actually, we don't need all these things. We could have just chanted Hare Krishna and that would have been enough. He said, but because the Brahmins, they would not accept. Therefore, he had to get so many Brahmins here and they had to do, if you watch the videos. And Prabhupada was sitting there and he's not into it. He just, okay, offer this. What's next? He was not really, but the kirtan was going on at the same time. The Sankirtan was going on, and that, Prabhupada said, was the real installation of the deities. So I think in 2004 in Mayapur, the same thing. There was all the fire sacrifices going on, but in the kirtan, the devotees could feel the presence of the Panchatattva. They actually appeared calling, because that's how we worship the Lord in this age. We worship by kirtan. Those who are intelligent worship Sumedhasa by Yajna Sankirtana Prayar, by Sankirtan. So the ceremonies, the Vedic ceremonies, are meant for people who want to go to the heavenly planets. The Sankirtan was meant for pure devotees. So during the sacrifice, Prabhupada's godbrothers were there and they were watching. And they said to Prabhupada, they saw one of our devotees who was also participating in the Yajna. And they said to Prabhupada, he's doing it all wrong. He's doing it all wrong. And Prabhupada said, that's okay, we're just practicing. So he didn't take it very seriously. he didn't take these Vedic rituals very seriously. And so why are these rituals insufficient? Because it doesn't, you can't control your mind. Your mind goes to the temporary. It goes on the asat, pate. Srila Swami has commented on this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that there in Ayurvedic medicine, there are is a medicine which is called Mritta Sanjeevani. It can revive you from death. But most doctors, they don't prescribe this. Instead, they give you Trikatu, three bitter medicines, because they don't know about this wonderful medicine. So Srila Swami compares this Karma Jnana and Yoga to the Trikatu, the three bitter medicines, because people don't know about the Sankirtan movement, which is Mritta Sanjeevani. It can revive the dead. So they give you these bitter Vedic things, these Vedic rituals, these bitter medicines, Karma Jnana and Yoga. And so Prabhupada, in his lecture, he said there's 20 kinds of Dharma Shastra composed by Manu, Parsha, and others. Very difficult to counteract our sinful life. If you commit some sin, then you do something, then you have to do some prayaschitta. That was also rejected in Bhagavatam in the sixth canto by Maharaj Parikshit. And only pure devotional service was accepted. So many yagyas are there, but the only yaga that is going to work is the Sankirtan Yajna of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now in this month we are trying to spread this Sankirtan movement by book distribution. I saw something. I was reading a memory of Prabhupada, and the book distributors went to Prabhupada and said, in the West, because they were distributing in the airport, it was Pragosh. Pragosh was saying, the police were always after them in the airport because they thought you should not do this in the airport. I mean, devotees were kind of crazy. I remember I was distributing in the airport in Bombay one time, and my partner was crazy. I was not crazy, and she used to jump up on the conveyor belt, where you get your luggage, and go from one place to the other or sell her books like that. And I thought, oh, this is not me. I'm not going to do this. But. Anyway, Pragosha was saying that this one police officer was giving him a hard time, and finally he took him to a room and he pushed him against the wall and said, "Now I'm going to arrest you if you come here again." And so Pragosha said to the police officer, "Okay, why don't you just take one of these?" He says, "I think the reason you're after me all the time is because you want a book. That's why. So I think you should take one book and read it, and if there's anything that you object to, then you tell me." So he please said, okay. So then he took the book home, and next time, and the devotee, in the meantime, made a beautiful cake for him, cheesecake. And the next day, he went looking for the policeman, and he found him. And the policeman said, yeah, okay, you're okay, your book is good. And he said, "Here, take this cheesecake." And he said, "But, if my superior sees me, then I'm going to get in trouble. So I tell you what to do. Whenever you see me coming, you just sit down and don't do anything. And when I pass through, then you can do your book distribution." So he said, "Okay, it's a deal. We'll do that." And then every Friday he would bring him a cheesecake. And one time he forgot, and the policeman said, "Hey, where's my cheesecake?" So this was in some airport in America. Probably, I can't remember which airport. Honolulu, Hawaii, okay. Yeah, it was some airport. And I just read a recent one that just happened a few weeks ago. There is one, somebody was distributing, no, this happened some time ago, it wasn't a few weeks ago. Somebody was distributing books in New York, and they met a person from Burma, and he's a Buddhist. And he said, no, I can't take your Gita. I worship Buddha." And he showed them a picture in Bhagavad Gita. "See, Buddha's there." So he bought the book. Then he started reading. He said, "This is not about Buddha. This is about Krishna. But I'll give it to I have a Hindu friend." When he went back to Burma, he gave it to his Hindu friend. The Hindu friend looked at it, he said, I follow Shankaracharya. This book is not for me. He put it down in the corner of his room. But then his son read it, and his son became a devotee. And now he's like regional secretary or something of Burma. So you don't know who is going to read that book. Maybe the person you sell it to is not going to read it, but somebody will read it. And there's one more very interesting thing that Prabhupada said that can help the book distributors here. Because in those days, people would take the book and they would just throw it in the garbage. They would just throw it away. And they told Prabhupada, they're throwing the books in the garbage. And Prabhupada said, they throw their babies in the garbage, so what can we do? And then he said, but if they just touch the book before they throw it, they will get benefit. So you should get everybody to at least touch the book. Get them to touch it, and then that will benefit them. So this is what we have to do. We have to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, and now is the time. Of course, every day is the time, but now is a special time, Gita Jayanti, so everybody can do that. So I'll stop here if there's any questions or comments. Can answer them now. Here's a question.
Thank you very much. Inspiring us in the distribution, inspiring so many people in the crowd. My question is about the distribution. I heard from the devotees that they're like, this is low distribution of work in the mode of oppression, activity in the mode of oppression. Does it
Book distribution is work in the mode of passion. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, at the beginning, it describes devotional service in the mode of passion. What does that mean, devotional service in the mode of ignorance, mode of passion, and mode of goodness? So it's not a question of the activity, but it's a question of your mentality. Where is your mind? Devotional service in the mode of passion means you're proud, you're arrogant, you're attached to the results, you want to be the best book distributor, you want to get your awards. And one time somebody told me they were, and you're a separatist. You don't cooperate with the other devotees. You just want to do it all yourself, you want to get the glory, and that's devotional service in the mode of passion. And this applies to everything, not just devotional service. I mean, not just book distribution. There was one devotee who told me she was out on book distribution, or he, I can't remember. And they were preaching to some man, and they were saying, you got to take this book. And the man said, you know what? You're very attached to the results. So Krishna was speaking to that man, and he didn't take the book. You're too attached to the results. So, if you want to read the definition, third canto, chapter 29, in the beginning, I can't remember, 7, 8, 9, something like around the beginning of the chapter, it describes devotional service in the mode of passion. You're violent, and you may even stop somebody else's service. Devotional service in the mode of goodness. You're doing your duty. You're not attached to the result. And you may even do your prescribed duty. So your prescribed duty may be book distribution. It may be to be a housewife, take care of kids. But you're doing it and giving the results to Krishna. And you're not attached to the results. You're just doing it as a matter of duty to And so that's devotional service in the mode of goodness. And transcendental is whenever you think of whenever you chant, you're there. You're in the spiritual world. You're with Krishna. You're thinking of Krishna always. You're trying to please Krishna. Trying to please Krishna. Any other questions? Jai, all glories. Oh, there's one. I think you can give me the answer, too.
Thank you very much for the class. The interpreter at the end says here that one who tries to understand the personality of God, the human being called the incentive of movement, knows everything perfectly. So it seems that many of us may not be actually on this level of knowing everything.
Right,
perfectly.
Right.
So how to understand it? If you try to understand the Supreme Personality of God, to the center of the moment, you know everything perfectly.
Well, if the answer is right in the sentence there. It says, if you try to understand. It doesn't say if you understand. If you just try to understand. Krishna, he's more strict. Prabhupada is giving us concessions, and here's one of his concessions. You don't even have to understand. You just have to try to understand. And that was janma karma chame devyam evam yoveti taktata. Anyway, anyone who understands, Krishna says, chapter 4, verse 9, anyone who understands my birth and activities, he will not come back to this world. He will come to me. But so in the lecture on that verse, Srila Prabhupada says, even if you don't understand, you just try to understand Krishna. Then you will go back to Godhead. So that answer is right in the verse here. You just try to understand. And that's, Prabhupada gave this formula for chanting as well, because somebody asked Prabhupada how to chant attentively. Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely from the heart. From the heart. So, yeah, if you read carefully, you'll see the loopholes here. So here's a loophole in this verse. Try. Just try. Give it a try. Give this life for Krishna. You have nothing to lose. A great career in the material world? No. Doesn't work. It's Kali Yuga. It's not going to last. Any other questions? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.